Well, if you were with us last week, we were out in the park. We had a wonderful day of worship. Today it's not raining in here, so we're just going to keep going just like we did yesterday or last week. And we are going in the Jesus Creed. We're talking about this creed about Jesus' command and his message that he lived out, which was to love God and love others. And we find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to find it up here on the screen. And as we have been practicing now for the last 6-7 weeks, we're going to share that together, the Jesus Creed that begins with, "Hear, O Israel." I wonder if you guys have it memorized yet. All right. Well, when that comes up, we will do it, okay? All right. So I'm going to share a message today that I have to confess is not my go-to kind of message. It's kind of one that is a little bit more difficult for me, not because it's not a great content, but because I just don't think that I fully grasp and understand this whole idea of Micah 6:8, this Jesus creed of love. And it's loving God and loving others in the way that God wants me to love God and love others. So I hope that as we go through this, we all get a deeper and better understanding. So everything I share today, like I've said before, is not original with me. I'm not an original preacher, meaning that most of my stuff comes out of the Bible. So if you want to follow up and find out, you know, if what I'm teaching is true, then I encourage you to look it up in the Bible. And if you find something in there that isn't, challenge me with that and say, "Oh, Pastor Tim, what you talking here?" But also, I want to give credit to author and writer, Professor Scott McKnight, who wrote the Jesus Creed and is a resource for this sermon series that I've been journeying through. So if you've been following along, then you know at the heart of this Jesus Creed, this loving God and loving others, is this understanding that God loves you. Are you guys getting that yet? If you've been around for the past several weeks, God loves you. And so I want you to say that with me, with the "God loves me." Let's repeat it together. God loves me. Let's say it one more time. God loves me. Absolutely. We have to understand that God loves you. That's the very heart of who God is. God is love, and God loves you. Before we ever talk about loving someone else, before we talk about even what this love is, we need to understand that God loves you deeply, desperately. You are a child of God. You are made in his image. God loves you. So we begin there. So if God loves us, we are called to love God the way God loves us, to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. And so how do we love God like that? Well, we do it by loving Jesus. We love Jesus. So the profound truth of the Jesus Creed is that God loves you, but that's not all. God loves everyone else too. And that is the second part of the Jesus Creed. God loves you and I. We respond by loving God back through loving Jesus, but then we are also called to love others as we love ourselves, loving our neighbors. So the Jesus Creed is love God and love others. Can you say that with me? Love God and love others. I mean, this may seem like, "Yeah, Tim, I think we're getting it," but I hope so, because this is the foundation of anything else that we do in the life of the church as followers of Jesus. We need to understand that the command, love God, love others. That's what it means to be a Jesus follower. So, how's it going? In his book, Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller, he describes this relationship in love. He says, to be in relationship with God is to be loved purely and furiously. I love that. Love purely and furiously. And he goes on to say that we learn that we are lovable or unlovable from other people. Thus, God tells us to love one another. So in other words, we need to love one another so that others know this love of God that is poured into us. We are lovable. You are lovable because God loves you. And so we love one another. Jesus followers are God lovers, right? We're people lovers because God is a lover. So as we read through this teaching of Jesus, we discover what love does, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love does not boast. We read about what love is, but Jesus never himself defines in the Gospels necessarily what love is. Now, when I read that, I was challenged to, is that true? Jesus doesn't necessarily define what love is, but he gives us context for his understanding and definition of love. In Palms Book State Park, it's in the UP, Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Cheryl and I, when we were traveling on our ministry renewal, we visited this park, and there they have this pond that's in the middle of a little forest. And you walk up through the woods and you start to see this pond and you think, oh, it's just a nice little pond. It looks really nice. But there's something special about it. You quickly realize because out of this little pond, there's a big river flowing. And so it is a natural spring, one of the biggest in the United States, I'm going to say. I'm not sure. It's a big natural spring. And so you have the opportunity to get in this little covered boat and float across this little pond. And as you do, you begin to see some things. As you come off the shore, you find out that it's pretty steep down and that underneath the trees have fallen in and their branches tip over and go way down. And because of a natural spring and all the minerals that accumulate, it's really kind of beautiful. And you begin to see how deep it really is. And as you push out further towards the middle, you get to see down there that there's a really strong current flowing. And you can tell because the sand is swirling around down at the bottom, and you can see the mineral deposits way down deep. But then you get to see the really amazing part of this Palms Book Lake. And that is, there are giant trout swimming around at the bottom of this lake or this pond. They're giant because they've been in there. They're fed by these nutrient-rich waters, and they're just huge for trout. And so the only way to see those is to be able to go out and look deep, deep, deep down into this crystal-clear pool. And there they are. Today we're talking, and in the Jesus Creed, we're talking about going deeper. Like that, deeper into the heart of God's love, deeper into that center of God's identity and Jesus' command to love. You know, there we see the beauty of the divine love of Abba, our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus used the term of Abba when he spoke of God as daddy or father, and reminder that God loves us. God loves his children purely and furiously. So this love that Jesus describes is a sacred love. And that's our first stop in describing Abba's love. It is to be a lover like God, we go deeper into a sacred love. Now, our culture, I think we could agree that is a little bit confused about what love is. But as we explore it in the Bible, we discover that its core, love honors God and others. Love honors God with everything. So if I picked one phrase to describe sacred love, I would call it a with everything love, all kind of love. Author Scott McKnight, he describes it like this. He says, love is sacred because genuine love is total in its commitment. He says, love asks from us either everything or it asks nothing. It asks for all. And I have to tell you, that's where I struggle with love. All? What does all mean? Well, we repeat it in the Jesus Creed, don't you? Jesus said, love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, with everything. This is what sacred love really is. You know, Fuller Youth Institute, they use this phrase called sticky faith. And the idea is that it's a faith that sticks with students after they go on to college, a faith that sticks in their life. I think that to describe this sacred love, it is a sticky love. It's a love that won't let go, no matter what. As we read through the scriptures and Israel's history, we discover that God loves his people. He calls his people to him. And even when they turn away, even when they go far from God, God is always pursuing after them. God is always loving them. God is like the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep to bring it back. God will not leave them because God sticks with his people. That's sticky love. That is an all kind of love, a no matter what kind of love. So as we read in the Immersed Reading Bible, as we're going to do beginning next week, we discover this sticky love that won't let go. And that's how God loves us. He won't let go. So any love that doesn't stick, that's less than sticky love. It's not sacred love. Because it's not an everything kind of love. So this sacred love is with all. So when we don't hold love as sacred, and when love isn't held in honor, it is diminished, and it's no longer this pure and furious kind of love. And I've seen firsthand, experienced firsthand, when love isn't honored. We recognize that. It diminishes our core when love doesn't stick and when trust is broken. You know, our spirit is demoralized, our experiences of broken trust, it kind of crushes our hope when love doesn't honor, when love isn't an all kind of love. But the good news is that God continues to pour his love into us. God makes the pie, God makes the love, and then we are able to share it out. So because God loves us with a sacred love, he won't let go. We're called to love others with an everything kind of love, with this sticky kind of love, with this deeper kind of love, with this sacred love. And so repeat with me, if we can, the phrase in the Jesus Creed. Are we there? You guys know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the sacred kind of love. And it instills in us this deeper walk into a moral love. Now, when you hear these words, or moral and sacred, it kind of, oh, this is getting a little deep. It's even a little deep for me. And it becomes this uncomfortable kind of feeling. Well, now what are we talking about? Well, Jesus says, don't judge or you will be judged, right? So we think that means that we should not make any moral judgments about anything or anybody. Well, that's just not true, is it? Because a sacred love is actually a moral love. And we'll discover that. So the best definition I can find for a moral kind of love is this. Moral love is our response to others, empowered by Abba's sacred love for us, and our sticky love response to that love. So in other words, moral love is our response, how we love other people, based upon God's love for us, that sticky kind of love, and it's our response to that, to God's love. So what is it? Well, we love others because God first loved us. But moral love for us is informed by its context. Remember when I said Jesus hasn't defined love? But by pulling out this Jesus Creed statement, this Leviticus 19 passage that says, love others as yourself, he adds that to the Shema of Judaism, which says, love God with everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. The passage in Leviticus says this, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You know, the context for this explains a lot about what this moral love really is. When we talk about context, we talk about where it is placed in the scripture. And in this, it says, be holy because I am holy. So God's speaking about being like God in love. So Jesus pulls out this neighborly, moral, sacred love defined in the book of Moses and adds it to the sacred creed of Judaism. And so I just want to read a little bit of the context of Leviticus 19. It gives us an understanding of what love, in Jesus' terms, really is. So the Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father. That's love. And you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. And it goes on to talk about appropriate forms of sacrifice. Then in verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. So love looks out for others. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name. So profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Honor one another. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Look out for those who can't fend for themselves. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among the people. Do not hide anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Look out for your neighbor. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And it continues. In the previous chapter in 18 and in chapter 20, it informs us of this understanding of moral love. What does love really look like? Well, it respects our parents. It provides for the poor. It respects the rights of others and honors our word. It cares for the physically challenged and seeks justice for the powerless. It doesn't endanger a neighbor. It speaks honestly about sin. It lives in sexual purity and does not mistreat foreigners. Shows love for one's enemies and more. So why are we concerned about a moral kind of love? Well, because Jesus is concerned about a moral kind of love. And if we're followers who make followers of Jesus, then we want to be concerned about what Jesus is concerned about. But it's not to clobber us, but it's for everyone to understand Abba's deep love for us. It's a sacred love. James Bryan Smith, he writes, Embracing the Love of God, he sums up the second part of the Jesus Creed, this love neighbor part, with this. God has created a world in which we are the ones who care for one another. To put it another way, God cares for us through one another. So it's this sacred kind of love that flows through you and me. God's love. So sacred love is a sticky love. Doesn't let go. Sacred love leads us into a deeper moral love that describes what this love of neighbor really is. And moral love has a seeking component. It's a sacred love in search of others. I love that phrase. A sacred love in search of others. You know, we can't just love on our own. We love in search of others. So that sacred love for others leads us into a deeper love for justice. Do we do justice? And this is one of those areas that I tend to get a little faded and fuzzy on, that I really don't know what it means to do justice well. I love to preach about God's love. I love to preach about Jesus and his work and about following him. But this whole area of doing justice, man, that's messy. And it's difficult. And it's not always that clear. And so I just get a little heebie-jeebie when I think about it. But it's part of God's command to us in loving our neighbor. The prophet Micah, he's confronting the people on their lost sense of God's love and this whole definition. He goes on to speak on behalf of the people to God. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? You know, kind of this whole idea that, you know, these are the kinds of sacrifices for Israel that were considered the best. You know, the year-old lambs and the number of them. Is this what God really wants? And then he goes on to say, shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? It's like, this is the ultimate sacrifice, not what God prescribes. Don't sacrifice your children. But, you know, kind of that ultimate, this, I, you know, is this what God wants of me? No, it isn't. What the law describes is not that they shouldn't do this, but what does God really want? What is this sacred love seeking? He goes on to say, he has shown you, O mortal, this is God speaking now, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice. Do mercy. Do humility in your walking with God and following Jesus. It's echoed in the New Testament when we jump into James. He writes, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So what are these verses directing us to? How important is justice to Jesus? Well, Jesus' followers in the New Testament, they pursue justice, just as we read in James, because they were taught by Jesus to love God and others. And that work of love includes justice. And so how do we describe justice? Well, this is a beautiful definition that I really want to hold on to. I would encourage this one for us. Justice is restoring people to God's intention. Restoring people to God's intention. What is God's intention? Love God, love others. That's justice. Restoring people to that. Writer Paul Metzger, he reminds us of our calling as Jesus followers. He says, in post-Christian settings, many skeptics view religion as corrosive, divisive, and a source of injustice. True, right? I mean, religion doesn't necessarily have a good connotation in society in these days. Maybe much of that is our own fault, but that's the world we live in. He says, but the kind of religion the Bible advocates is rooted in justice that flows from the heart of God. It seeks to bring all things into the wholeness of God. As those justified by faith in the God of all justice, we are to experience the wholeness that he brings and extend it as citizens of his kingdom. So extending this love of God and love of others. So what does it look like to love by pursuing justice? Well, I'm going to borrow a little story here from Scott McKnight's book. He writes, in the 1960s, a man in our church decided to run for mayor because he thought he could make a difference. Our church member was elected. On the first payday of his mayoral duty, the garbage men were all standing outside his office waiting for him when he came out at the end of the day. They informed him that for years, on Friday afternoons, they handed over their checks to the former mayor, who promptly gave them a portion in cash, and that mayor had kept the rest for himself. When the mayor told the garbage men that those days were now over, like the lepers who had been healed, they hoofed it home in joy. Justice, a characteristic of the society of Jesus, had arrived for those workers. What does justice look like? It looks like what's right. It looks like what's right. So these are the realities that we deal with every day. Injustices. Oftentimes we think of justice as simply retribution, that kind of payback. And, you know, there is a sense of justice that has that component, but justice isn't only about retribution. Or there's a sense of justice that it's kind of the Robin Hood kind of thing. It's dismantling systemic situations that put others in poverty and distributing that rightly. Well, that's a part of it. But justice isn't redistribution alone. So what is it? What is kingdom justice? Well, it's deeper than retribution and it's deeper than redistribution. Kingdom justice is about restoring humans to both God and to others. So justice in the Bible is restorative. It's about the final outcome. It's right relationships in right ways. I think about justice as this, doing the right thing in the right way. How many of you know that in all situations? Not me. It's hard, isn't it? Doing the right thing in the right way. How many of you have tried to do the right thing and you found out it was the wrong way? Probably. How did that go for you? Not good. And so we want to tend to step back, right? Or we do the wrong thing, but we do it with the right heart. Have you ever done that? Yeah, probably. And then we want to step back because justice is difficult and it seems hard to do. But God calls us to step forward, to step in, to continue that difficult work of moving to restoration, to doing what's right the right way. So sacred love is in Jesus' inaugural mission in Luke 4 when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives." It's in his teachings in the Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." It talks about what this restoration looks like in the coming kingdom. And it's described in the final judgment in Matthew 25 when Jesus says, "Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me." Whenever you followed the Jesus Creed, loving God and loving others, that's what you were doing to me. And so sacred love is demonstrated in a justice that seeks to restore human beings to what is right. So where do we practice this neighborly love? Where do we do justice? Any thoughts? Missions? You know, as I was reading along, and something that's kind of continually bothered me, and I have to say I don't know a whole lot about this, but it is the Rohingya that are in Myanmar. You know, since 2014, they've been experiencing this, what many call ethnic cleansing. And, you know, whatever side you want to look at this, you know, whatever you see as a religious issue, you know, these people are suffering deeply, greatly. And as someone who wants all people restored, you know, from the Jesus Creed, restored to God and others, you know, this is one of those issues that ought to make us turned over inside and want to seek some form of restoration. But that's not the only issue in the world, is it? I mean, there's issues all around us, right here in our own communities, maybe even in our own families, where we see injustice, where we see things that aren't right, and we want to do something that we're compelled as a follower of Jesus to see love lived out, but it's so hard sometimes to figure it out. But that doesn't let us off the hook. And I don't know really what that means, other than I know we're not off the hook on this. So we want to continue to try to live into what the Lord commands us. I've been working on a mercy and compassion and maybe justice issue in the last couple of weeks. I mentioned it last week, and again, it's still not leaving me or letting me go. And so I'm just trying to walk that out and finding that as I continue to press in, the Lord continues to open avenues and doorways for justice to take place, for mercy to be extended. And it's kind of refreshing. It's kind of good. I wish I could say I can guarantee the outcome to this, but I surely can't. It could turn out not so good. But we're called to live out the Jesus Creed, to love God and love others with everything, with all. Next week, we're going to finish up this message, this series on the Jesus Creed. And we're going to talk a little bit about hospitality. And the whole idea behind this next Sunday is that it is an invitation Sunday, which means you are invited to bring someone to church with you on Sunday. We're having breakfast between services. We'll go back to two services. And so at 9:30, there'll be breakfast, and you can invite someone to come for breakfast and join worship with you. And as we do, we will make every effort to make them feel welcome, to be hospitable, and to help people understand what it means at Bethlehem Covenant Church to love God and to love others, to walk out this Jesus Creed, to be followers of Jesus, and invite your guests to join us in being part of that. And so I invite you again, bring a guest. We're going to also introduce the prophets as a book reading club study. We're going to preach and read and teach, and we've been doing this, and it's a great time together. So I invite you to bring someone and introduce them to this whole idea. And so as we close today, I want us to recite the Jesus Creed together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.